talk a little bit about the dimension of Shabbos. You've been covering it from pretty much every imaginable angle. But there's one very important aspect of Shabbos, which is that Shabbos really is a day that we have a bit more time. And, of course, we want to utilize that time to the best purposes. And that includes a little bit more time to be able to daven. And that's why, if you look in the Siddur, the tefillos for Shabbos are a bit longer than during the week. Because we're under the assumption that people don't have to rush off to work, they don't have trains to catch or buses to catch, and therefore it should be a time to invest a little bit more in davening. So that's what we're going to talk a little bit about today, the tefillos of Shabbos, and how important they are. So the first thing is that even if during the week, again, you're in a hurried situation, you really don't have time, you definitely take advantage of the fact that Shabbos there is a bit more time. I happen to personally be a very big fan of going to shul. I was raised like that. My parents, we went to shul every Shabbos, like no joke. And there was like no such thing as not going to Shabbos unless you were like very sick or something. So I happen to be a fan of that. I think you get a lot more Shabbos flavor of going to shul and being a part of a community and hearing the Torah being read, etc. Much more than slumping around in a robe and sleeping in and drinking coffee and cake, etc. So, not that I want to ruin anyone's Shabbos rest, because that's also extraordinarily important, but each one, of course, puts this in to their schedule. It's a personal thing. Everyone has to fit it in according to their schedule. God willing, also, obviously, when people have young children, women have young children, they can't really go to shul. They shouldn't really go to shul because it's distracting and really not okay for all the rest of the people there. But it is very good to go at least for a couple of minutes, that the kids should be acquainted that there is shul and that this is a part of Shabbos. So that's my own personal agenda. You could do with it, you could take it or leave it. But even if you don't go to shul, the Siddur is alive and well, and there are very special prayers to be said on Shabbos. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. And as we talk about the different aspects of Shabbos, we'll be also to talk about the different prayers of Shabbos. We'll be able to talk about some very basic ideas about what Shabbos is all about. Okay, so we'll be at the beginning. It used to be in the good old days that Friday night you went to shul and you'd have a ma'ariv like every single other day of the year, every weekday, every holiday, you go to shul and you'd have a ma'ariv, right? So we're going to start with this very beautiful tefillah called Kabbalah Shabbos, which is a relatively modern invention. It's really only a couple hundred years old. How did it come to be, and what's it all about? Okay? So we're going to start talking about Kabbalah Shabbat. So a little history. Again, there never was anything called Kabbalah Shabbat throughout Jewish history until the days of Arizal and Sfat, and the Kabbalists of Sfat, the Arizal students, initiated this thing called Kabbalat Shabbat, receiving the Shabbat, which we all know. And even if you have a hard time going to, by the way, back to my private agenda, even if you have a hard time going to shul in the morning, because they start really early especially in Israel, but Friday night is actually a really nice time to go to shul. And very beautiful. It's pretty short. A lot of singing, so you don't have to. It's a painless tefillah. anyway, so they. What, now, where did they get this thing from, and why did it why did they put it in, and what's it all about? So, the truth is that, like everything else that the Arizal and his students initiated, nothing was. They didn't make anything up. It all, of course, had laws all the way back to ancient sources. And in the Gemara, in Gemara and Shabbos, it says that there was a Tana, Rav Chanina, who used to go out into the fields before Shabbos, dressed in his Shabbos clothes, in order to greet the Shabbat queen. So that's the source of where it all comes from. But Rav Chanina did it, but nobody. It was never a massive thing that everybody did. It was just like a personal thing that he did. But the concept of Kabbalat Shabbat actually exists from all the way back from the days of the Gemara itself. There was another Tana that also used to wait for the Shabbat queen to come. That's the official source. But in the, when the Arizal and the students who lived in Tzfat in the 1500s, they said, you know, let's take this idea and let's actually make it actual a part of the tefillah of Shabbat. We don't just say, oh, nice idea. Let's actually build it up and formulate it into a whole way and a whole ceremony of receiving the Shabbat. What's so miraculous about this is that it spread throughout the Jewish world, Sephardic Jewry, Ashkenazic Jewry, which is really pretty much unparalleled, that we should have a new, for us that's new, it's only a couple hundred years old, a new minhag, 500 years old, that spread throughout the Jewish world. We're talking about a time when there was not mass communication, and yet it spread throughout the Jewish world without any controversy or very little controversy, and it was accepted. Basically every Jewish community that I ever heard of at this point says Kabbalat Shabbat. Okay? So what is Kabbalat Shabbat? Six chapters of Tehillim corresponding to the 6 days of the week. It's a very good way to do a little meditation about what kind of a week you had, but much more importantly, what kind of week you want to have next week. Because Shabbat is on the one hand the culmination of the past week, but more importantly, it's the Makor HaBracha, it's the source of blessing for the coming week. It's just, it has both aspects to it. So you have six Pekum of Tehillim that we say that that are corresponding one to Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, etc. Everybody knows how their Sunday was, how their Monday was, Tuesday, etc. And you have 6 days of the week that you're supposed to meditate about. And then you come to the special, beautiful tefillah that probably most of you are familiar with, which is L'chadodi. L'chadodi, written by Rav Shlomo Alkovitz, the student of the Arizal in Tzfat. And we know that it's written by him because it's the Rashi Tevot of the different stanzas. The first letters of each stanza spells out Shlomo Halevi. That's because he was Shlomo Alkovitz, who was a Levi, from the tribe of Levi. So he is Shlomo Halevi. You'll see, you can read it outside. And obviously it's beyond the scope of what we're doing right now to get into all the different Pekum of Tehillim that we said, why those were chosen, what each one means. That's a separate, for a separate time. The basic theme of those six Pekum of Tehillim is first of all, joy, because Shabbos is a time of joy. It's a time to focus on happy things. We're not allowed to mourn on Shabbos. You have to make a very conscious effort to just close off your brain from anything negative and think about positive things. And it has halachic ramifications. As I just said, you're not allowed to do any mourning on Shabbos, which literally means that if God forbid my father, Zichrono Livracha, passed away on Wednesday night, Thursday was the funeral, Friday, boom, we're like Shabbos. The next day we're like, you know, like nothing's going on. It's like almost a regular Shabbos. And you have to just make a very conscious effort that that's what Shabbos is all about. Everyone has something on their mind. That goes without saying. We all know that. People sometimes are going through very difficult things. Come Shabbos, you have to simply get your brain to start thinking Shabbostic, and not to think about negative things, and not to think about the worries of the week, and not to focus on that at all. Sometimes it's very challenging, but one thing's for sure, it's very healthy, and it's very important, especially in the kind of societies that we live in with so many pressures of all different sorts. Okay, so that's one theme of these six chapters of Tehillim. Another theme of this chapters of Tehillim is how God created the world. After all, Shabbos is a celebration of the creation of the world. And the third theme is many, many references to the coming of Mashiach. And why is that? Because we know that Shabbat is me'ein olam haba, it's a taste of the world to come. Because when Mashiach comes, it will be one long Shabbos, Yom Shekulo Shabbos, a day which is completely Shabbos, where there will be no distractions and no worries. We'll have the free time to be able to meditate about Hashem and daven and learn and do all the things that you're really supposed to do every week on Shabbos. So those are the three major themes that come popping up when you look at the Kabbalat Shabbat. But the crown of the Kabbalat Shabbat is this beautiful poem written by Shlomo Alkovitz, which is called L'chadodi. And what does it say over there? L'chadodi, the kraf kala, p'nei Shabbat n'kabbalah. Let's go and meet our kala. So what we see over here is that Shabbos is being called a kala. It's also called a queen, the Shabbat Malka. They're nice words, but why are we calling Shabbos a bride. Why are we calling Shabbos a queen? Where do these things come from, and what do they actually mean? Okay, so this goes back actually to a famous quote from the Zohar from the name of Shimon Bar Yochai. Shimon Bar Yochai said that when God created the world, the first day was partnered off with the second, the third day was partnered off with the fourth, the fifth to the sixth. Shabbos was left without a mate. Right? Like, this is not fair. I don't have a partner. So Hashem said, don't worry, I'm going to give you the Jewish people. The Jewish people will be your partner. You will be its bride, and they will be your groom. And so this concept of partnership, of a marriage, actually, this is where we get the idea of Shabbat Kala. It's a Kala, that it's a bride, because it's literally the bride of the Jewish people. Now, the word Kala in Hebrew means bride, but it comes from the word Kol. What does the word Kol mean? Right? Yeah. Because a Kala completes and brings to conclusion, and she completes her husband. That's the idea, that's one of the definitions, that's what a Kala means, that she gives fulfillment and completion to her husband. So it turns out that the Shabbos is the fulfillment of the Jewish people, and the Jewish people are the fulfillment for the Shabbos. We have this very wonderful, healthy relationship, which is a relationship based on holiness, and that's why it's called Shabbat Kodesh. Shabbat Kodesh, a holy Shabbos. Kodesh because it comes from the word Kiddushin. Kiddushin is marriage, because the Jewish people are married to Shabbos, and Shabbos is married to the Jewish people. So when Shlomo Akiba said, "Let's go greet the Kala," we take this really very literally. We have to go, and that's why the chassan comes to greet the Kala at Chuppah. He'll come to greet her, and not the other way around, right? And so this is what they used to do. The Arizal students, they would dress in Shabbos clothes. They would go out into the fields of Tzfat, literally to go out to greet the queen, the bride that's coming to the Chuppah. And this bride is the mate and the partner of the Jewish people, right? So that's one very important concept. Why is she called a queen? Why is Shabbos referred to as a queen? Shabbat Malkah, you probably have heard that expression. We're going to explain a little bit deeper. It explains that really there are 7 days of the week, which are called the Sheva Yimei HaBinyan, the 7 days of the building of the world, right? And just like everything else God does in this world, there's nothing physical without a spiritual component, that goes without saying. And therefore, the 7 days of the week correspond to the 7 attributes of God, right? Sunday is connected with chesed, kindness. Monday with gevurah, etc. We go down through all the days of the week. The last sphera is called the sphera of Malchus. Malchus is kingship. So now you know why Shabbat is called a Malkah, a queen, right? But it's a queen, not a king. It's a Malkah, not a Melech. Why? Because it's connected to the sphere of Malchus. What's the sphere of Malchus all about? The sphere of Malchus is a feminine sphere. What does that mean? Okay, so let's talk about this for a moment. The sphere of Malchus means that we have all these very nice attributes of God, kindness and chesed and not giving, gvura, and the combination of the two, all these different sphere. The combination of all that is this character trait called Malchut. Malchus. What does it mean? Exactly like a human king. A human king, what's the job of a human king? Is a human king expected to build every road personally, to go out there and teach every single person? Of course not. His job is to absorb all the talents of all of his people, right? And take them all in. He's supposed to gather the best architects, the best engineers, the best teachers, the best whatevers, and gather them all in. And all the people are supposed to pay tribute to the king for that reason, on the one hand. But then, after he takes it all in, what does the king do with all that? He has to reflect it back with a greater energy. That's exactly the definition of a king. That he takes all the talents of his people, he absorbs them all, and then after he absorbs it all, then he can give instructions. Okay, you do this, you do that, you do there, you go there. And he gives direction to all of these. So he absorbs all these energies, and then he can shine them back with greater energy, which is connected to the moon. The moon also has no light of its own. it only can absorb light from the sun. It absorbs light from the sun, and then after that, it can reflect it back with more energy than what it got in the first place. Well, we'll give one more example. Earth. The Earth. The Earth has nothing to it. The Earth is receives water, minerals, seeds, sunshine, right? It just sits there passively, absorbing all of that, right? And after it absorbs all of that, what does it do? Trees, plants, all the food that we eat, everything comes from Earth. That's why it's called the feminine sphere. Without getting too, we don't want to get too in trouble here with any feminist remarks here, but the feminine model in Kabbalah, in Torah, is to be a receiver, to be passive. Whoa. I said it, I didn't get stoned. But not passive in the what people think of passivity, like Nebuch, like you can't get anything done. The opposite. You are a receiver and you're passive in order to receive everything and then give it back with much more power and much more energy than what you received. Exactly like a king, exactly like the moon, exactly like Mother Earth. Why is Earth in all languages we refer to Earth as Mother Earth? It's a feminine thing. Why? Why isn't it Father Earth? Or why isn't it just good old Earth? In all societies, it's called Mother Earth. Why Mother Earth? Because Mother receives passively and then gives back with much more energy and much more direction. Okay? When I was first married, I was working at the time in the Bay. I was in Madrucha for a long time, and my husband had never worked in certainly not in a girls' school before he was married, bless you. So we did our first Shabbaton. We were married for a couple weeks. Right? So they asked us to be a host, the Friday night meal for the girls. Okay, so we go. Before my husband made Kiddush, then when everybody went out to wash, she put one challah on top of the other. Some people have that custom, maybe you've seen. You put one challah on top of the other, and on Friday night, you cut the bottom one. Mm-hmm. And on Shabbos day, you cut the upper one, right? So one of the girls said, how come you put one challah on top of the other, and why'd you cut the bottom one, for this Friday night? So he said, well, because the upper one is masculine, the lower one is feminine, the third one is passive, and she was like, oh! And he was like, I give up. I heard it coming, but poor guy, he was like, don't worry, he learned a couple of tricks. It was a long time ago. So passivity in Judaism is not a negative thing at all. It's actually a very positive thing. It means that you actually have a little space in your mind, in your heart, to listen to others, to receive from others. That's a very good compliment. And after you receive and you take it all in, then you have to reflect it back with a much greater light than what you got in the first place. Okay? And this is why Shabbos is called a queen. Not a king, but a queen, because she's the feminine sphere of Malchus, which is the seventh sphere. The seventh sphere has no quality of its own, but it absorbs everything you did during the 6 days of the week. And then it gets absorbed, and then it gets reflected back with much more energy. That's the idea. And this is exactly what Shabbos is. Shabbos is a day we don't do, theoretically. We don't do this, we don't manipulate, we don't go, we don't work, we run around like we own the world. We stop all that activity, we absorb everything, we reflect on everything that happened during the week, and then we take it in, and then we can give it back in a much different way, in a spiritual way, right? Because everything that you did during the week was for the purpose of coming to Shabbat. And that's why Misha Tarach Be'er Shabbat Yochav Shabbat. Whoever put an effort during the 6 days of the week will eat on Shabbos, right? If you don't prepare on Friday, you're not going to have a lot to eat on Shabbos, right? Whoever put it on a bigger level, any energies that you put out throughout the week is in order so that Shabbat could come along, catch it all, absorb it all, and then you could reflect on it, what happened this week, what was the meaning of everything that happened this week. But not from a material point of view, but a spiritual point of view.
Why do they add Yiddish Nefesh in some kind of major? What is it and what is it?
there's a lot of prayers. We're not going to go through all of them. Just a few basic ideas. And different communities have different. Some people say Shir HaShirim on Friday before Shabbat comes in, because Shir HaShirim is this love song between Hashem and the Jewish people. There's many, many, many customs out there, but what's beautiful about Kabbalat Shabbat is that it's a new addition that spread throughout the Jewish world, and everyone understood how beautiful it is, how amazing it is, and almost all communities I've ever been to, they actually sing it, even in communities that don't sing that much, and it's really a beautiful addition to Shabbat. Again, all based on the Gemara, but then the Arizal, like with so many other things, took concepts and made them alive and gave them, pumped energy into them and life force into them. And this is the additional prayer that we have on now the last stanza. I'm sure you've been in, if you've ever seen the last stanza, we turn around to the door to greet the Shabbat Queen, because it's just like if a very important person was coming into the room, we would greet them and we would say hi, you know, welcome. We would turn around and face them, and that's why the last stanza of the Chazodi, we say, we turn around, we greet the Shabbat Queen, and that's how Shabbat begins. After that, there's another chapter of Tehillim, which is Mizmor Shir LeYom HaShabbat, the song of the day of Shabbat. Now, actually, every day of the week has a song of the day. If you look in your Siddur, you'll see this is the song of the day for Sunday, this is the song of the day for Monday, different chapters of Tehillim, which is always very interesting why that chapter of Tehillim was chosen. Sometimes it's obvious, sometimes it's not so obvious. All, by the way, the Gemara Rosh Hashanah explains exactly which Tehillim is chosen for which day of the week. But the one for Shabbos is what we call a no-brainer, because it starts with the words, Mizmor Shir LeYom HaShabbat. This is a song for Shabbat. So that's very obvious. We don't have to think too much about that one. And more, basically, that's the Kabbalat Shabbat. Okay? Next thing I want to speak about is the fact that on Shabbos, is the one and only day of the year that the Shemona Esrei for the night, the morning, and the afternoon, the Maariv, Shachris, and Mincha, are different. There is no other day of the year like that. Every other day of the year, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, weekdays, you get the same Shemona Esrei at night, as you get in the morning, as you get for Mincha. The only day that is different is Shabbos. And what do I mean different? Every Shemona Esrei in the world starts and ends the same, no matter what day of the year it is. But the middle section, that's what we're talking about here. So if anyone has a Siddur, you can open up to the Friday night Shemona Esrei, which is in the Art Scrolls on page 340. Okay? Page 340, 341 in English. Okay, so again, why is it that this is the only day of the year that we have we're talking about different things on Friday night, as we talk about on Shabbos day, as we talk about at Mincha? Why is it like that? Okay? And what are the differences, obviously? Okay, first of all, the first thing you notice is that the regular requests that we make on during the week are gone. All of them are gone. On Shabbat, you do not make requests. Shabbat and holidays, the entire section of requests is out, because you don't make requests on Shabbos and holidays. Why not? Because everything's already good. Everything's already okay. And therefore, we don't talk about what we're lacking. We're talking about the positive energy of what we already have. Yes?
What's that? I know they cannot make also when you say to him, you don't say the names. But when you light your candles, like I often say, like of my personal bracha in the week.
You can pray for people on Shabbat. You can, for instance, if you, God willing, this week when you're in shul, at the end of the Torah reading, they make a mishaberach for all the sick people. And everyone says names, sometimes a lot of names. But we just say you're not allowed to pray for people on Shabbat. So we pray a little differently. Instead of saying, please heal the people that are sick, we say, the text is a little different. We don't focus on the fact that the people are sick. We focus on the fact that God is the healer. It's a slightly different take, but it's a big difference. I'm not focusing on the negative of what's wrong. I'm focusing on the power of Hashem to heal.
And then how do you do that? Because I'm part of a Tehillim group.
You can say Tehillim.
So how do I change
Shabbos is an excellent day to say to daven in general, and a fantastic day to say Tehillim. Tehillim is an all-around good thing, mostly most of the time, anyway. But definitely, it's a wonderful time to say Shabbos. There are many communities that have the custom of saying the entire book of Tehillim every Shabbos Mevarchim. There are other communities that have this minhag of saying the entire book of Tehillim every single Shabbos morning before davening. So saying Tehillim on Shabbos is, that's what Shabbos is for, right? You could say their names, but you don't focus on the fact that they're sick. You focus on the fact that God is a healer. Shabbos himilizo, gurufu shema krov lavo. Shabbos has nothing negative. That's the actual wording that they say in Shul. Shabbos himilizo, there's nothing damaging that goes on Shabbos. Gurufu shema krov lavo, and the healing should come. Not that you're sick, but that the healing should come and that God is a healer. It's a different focus. But it's definitely a very good day to say to him, for sure. Okay. So again, the requests are gone, and what do we have instead? We have the middle bracha, Friday night. You sanctified the seventh day for your name's sake. The conclusion of the creation of heaven and earth, of all days, you blessed it, and all seasons you sanctified it, and so it is written in your Torah. And then we have a quote from the Torah, which is at the very end, which is in the Bereshit story. Thus the heaven and the earth were finished, and all their legions. On the seventh day God completed his work which he had done, and he abstained on the seventh day from his work which he had done. God blessed the seventh day, sanctified it, because he had abstained on his work. And that's what you say Friday night. Then you finish off with Elokeinu, our God, and the God of our fathers, which we say also Shabbos morning, and also Mincha. So the only thing that's different is these. And what's the theme? The theme of Friday night. The theme of Friday night is the creation of the world. And the Kiddush that you say is exactly the same words that we just read. Vayechula Shemayim, thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all their beginning. Exactly what we say Friday night Kiddush. Because the focus of Friday night is the creation of the world. That's what we're thinking about on Friday night. Okay? What did the Jewish people do to help God create the world? How active were we in the story of the creation of the world? Not at all. Zero. Right? We had nothing to do with it, actually. In fact, Adam is the last creation. He walked into the world after everything was already done. Right? Sometimes you feel that way when you have guests, you know? Mm-hmm. They walk in when everything's already done. You don't know what this place looked like 2 hours ago. And that's why sometimes when girls get married and they have to make their own first Shabbos, they're like, wow, it looks so easy. Okay, so the Friday night aspect of Shabbos is this focus on creation. And the focus on creation is the feminine aspect of creation. Again, because it's the, don't get nervous, passive aspect of creation. We were not proactive at all. We were receivers. We received everything. Hashem made 7 planets and galaxies and everything for us, and we had nothing to do with it. We were totally receivers. Okay? And that is the Friday night aspect of Shabbat, and that's why you cut the bottom challah on Shabbat. Some people that had that custom, they cut the bottom challah, which is the receiving challah, and that's the feminine aspect, the passive aspect, the receiving aspect, and I hope now everyone is taking this within the context that I wanted to be taking it. Okay? Great. All right. There are many, in many, many sivers. It says, if you look on the art scroll, the last line on that page, right before the bracha, blessed are you Hashem, the sentence before, rest on it. You see, it says rest on it, or in Hebrew, v'yanuchu ba. And if you look at the asterisk, there's an asterisk there, because ba, okay, everybody's studying grammar, what is ba in? It's feminine in her. Why? Because this is the feminine aspect of Shabbos, the creation. Okay? Now let's get forward to the Shabbos morning, Shemona Esrei. The Shabbos morning, Shemona Esrei, on page 425. Here, again, no requests, that goes without saying, but there's a different text, a different nusach. And what does it say? Moshe rejoiced in the gift of his portion, that you called him a faithful servant and crown of splendor you placed on his head when you stood before you at Har Sinai. He brought down two stone tablets in his hand in which is inscribed the observance of Shabbos. So it is written in your Torah. And again, here's the quote from the Torah. And the children of Israel shall keep the Shabbos to make Shabbos an eternal covenant for their generations between me and the children of Israel as a sign forever. The 6 days Hashem made heaven and earth. On the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. And he didn't give it, Hashem, to our God, to the nations of the lands, nor did he make it the inheritance of our king to the worshippers of idols. It is just for the Jewish people. Okay? So what are we talking about Shabbos morning? We're not talking about the creation of the world anymore. We're talking about
May Israel accepting.
May Israel observing the Shabbos that Moshe gave us the Torah, and then the Torah says Jews keep Shabbos, and that's the aspect of Shabbos that we're talking about Shabbos morning. That's the proactive, or let's call it the masculine, without anybody again, right? I know. The aspect of Shabbos. That's the part that we have a lot to do with. In fact, we have everything to do with, because God has to wait for us to decide if we want to observe Shabbos or not. It's our free choice. So the aspect of Shabbos morning, we're focusing on the fact that God gave these Shabbos to Jewish people in the Torah. By the way, that's why we read from the Torah in the morning and not at night. Why do we read Torah back in the morning and not at night? Because that's what we're talking about. We're talking about this proactive relationship of the Jewish people, where we receive the Torah, but we're not just passive here. We have to fulfill it. We have to do it. We have to keep Shabbos, right? And that's why, if you look, when it says over here, the bottom of the page 425, right before the bracha, and they rest on it. If you look in the Hebrew, it says "Vayanuchu bo" in it, but in the masculine, not in her, in him. Because now we're up to a completely different aspect of Shabbos. It's a completely different, and you all know instinctively that it's a very different feel. It's a Friday night feel, which is a time where we have a good meal, and it's more you're celebrating the fact that God made this amazing world. Shabbos morning is more a time going to shul, hearing the Torah reading, making the commitment of the Jewish people to observe the Shabbos. It's a different focus. Mm-hmm. Okay? And the wording changes from ba to bo. Okay? Does someone have a question? Okay. So now we're ready. This was a very short Shabbos. We're ready up to Mincha. Okay? Mincha. Let's look at the middle bracha for Mincha. And it's on page 317. 316 in the Hebrew, 317 in English.
5.
Sorry, 517. 516 and 517. Forgive me. What does it say over here? Holiness of the day. You are one, your name is one, and who is like your people Israel, one nation on earth? The splendor of greatness, the crown of salvation, the day of contentment and holiness have you given to your people. Abraham would rejoice, Isaac would exult, Yaakov and his children would rest on it, a rest of love and magnanimity, a rest of truth and faith, a rest of peace and serenity, tranquility and security, a perfect rest in which you find favor. May your children recognize and know that that from you comes their rest, and through their rest they will sanctify your name. Okay? What kind of a perfect rest are we talking about?
Menucha.
But what kind of menucha? This is already the third aspect of Shabbos, which is referring to Yimot HaMashiach. As we said earlier, Shabbos, a very huge part of Shabbos, is that me'in olam haba, a taste of what will be in the world to come. But you don't get there Friday night, and you don't get there Shabbos day. It's a process. You start Friday night by focusing on the creation of the world, that God created the world. You move on Shabbos morning to come to a higher realization that there's a Torah here, that this is the commitment of the Jewish people to respond to Hashem's calling. And then you get to the afternoon after 24 hours of being in Shabbos mode. Now you're able to focus on a much higher level of Shabbos, which is when we're talking about not just regular rest that we have Friday night, but the rest is perfect rest, it's serenity. When is it going to be perfect rest? when is it going to be absolute serenity? Only in Yemot HaMashiach. So the third aspect of Shabbos is the most spiritual time of Shabbos, which makes sense because we are working our way up. Shabbos is a process. Every hour of Shabbos brings you a bit more holiness, and a bit more holiness, and a bit more holiness, until you can reach the climax. And the climax of Shabbos is the afternoon mincha time. And that's the time that we focus on the truest aspect of what Shabbos is really all about, which is that it's, this is how it's going to be, a Yom Shekulo Shabbos, a day which is eternal, eternally rest, the ultimate and complete Shabbos of the days of Mashiach. Right? And that's why, now how do you get there? How do you get to this? You have to work on it. Friday night has to bring you to Shabbos morning. Shabbos morning has to take you to Shabbos afternoon. And that's why you'll notice that the third meal in every community is a much lighter meal than anywhere else, than the other meals, right? Not only because you cannot put another morsel of food into your pot. That's besides the point. Because we're much more focused on the spiritual part of Shabbos, right? And this is why in almost all shuls, there'll be some Torah learning between Mincha and Maariv on Shabbos afternoon. And it's a time where we don't sit around for hours having a very long meal like we do Friday night or maybe Shabbos day, right? It's an aspect of Shabbos which is, the spiritual aspect of the Shabbos is much more pronounced than the spiritual, than the physical aspects of Shabbos. And again, some people have meals, some people, but no matter what kind of a meal you have, some people Amazon, some people at least more, that's not the point. The point is that everyone knows that it's a time for a little bit less food and a little bit more spirituality. During the summer months, that's the time that we learn Pirkei Avos, the rabbis decree that this, because we have many hours Sunday in the summer, long afternoons, that's the time from Pesach, usually most people have the custom up to Rosh Hashanah, that's the time to learn Pirkei Avot, it's the time to say Tehillim, it's the time to have a chavrusa, a shir, and this is how the Jewish people, of course you could have a chavrusa in the morning and the night as well, no one's disagreeing, but this is the basically the climax of Shabbos and the holiest time of Shabbos, and that's where the focus is way more on the spiritual than on the physical.
So the focus on the spiritual, what is there, like an event that we're focusing on?
There's a what?
Like an event that we're focusing on?
Event?
Yeah, like where, like,
what are you supposed to do? You mean?
Yeah, like how Friday night is the creation of the world, Shabbos morning is the receiving of Matan Torah.
And Mincha is the time to focus on Yemot HaMashiach.
Okay.
That's where you're supposed to be focusing, on the time of ultimate Shabbos, the ultimate of complete peace, perfect peace, all the things that we just said in the prayers. The prayers, by the way, were written by the men of the Great Assembly. Every word here was hand-chosen, hand-picked, deliberated over. Each and every word is, one word is holier than the next. And therefore, there's not, they wrote one thing for Friday night, another thing for Shabbos, that's nice, another thing for Mincha. This is extraordinarily precise. It is explaining to us the momentum of Shabbos. We start off with the creation of the world, we move on to receiving the Torah and all the mitzvahs regarding Shabbos, and we move up to the higher level of getting ready for the days of Mashiach, which is what Shabbos is a taste of every single week. And that's why when we finish the blessing, again, what does it say? Blessed are you, Hashem, who sanctifies the Shabbos, on page 519. What does it say before that? Vayanuchu bam. It's not ba in her. It's not bo in him. It's bam in them. Because what is the coming of Mashiach all about? The coming of Mashiach is the synthesis of all of the things that Hashem gave us, plus all the efforts of the Jewish people throughout the entire exile, throughout all of Jewish history. The coming of Mashiach, the definition of the coming of Mashiach is the culmination of everything that God gave us, plus all of the efforts of the Jewish people. Or we could say it in a little different wording. Friday night is a time of arousal from above. Hashem does everything. Shabbos morning is a time of arousal from below. That's when we become proactive. And Mincha is the fusion of the two. Mm. When Hashem, when all of the arousal from above from God is obviously much greater than anything we could ever do. That goes without saying. However, there could be a downer about it, because Hashem could make a huge arousal, but who said I necessarily accepted it, connected to it, right? So comes the next step, which is my efforts. the efforts of the Jewish people from below. And that's, of course, really, the truth is that's even greater than the arousal from above, because it's my efforts, it's real, it came from all my hard work. But, of course, it's limited because I'm only a human being, and whatever I can accomplish is nice, but I'm still always going to be, no matter how great a person, you're still a finite human being. What's the culmination? The merger of the two. When Hashem could show all of His glory as He really is, and we will be able to internalize all of that completely and totally, that's the definition of the coming of Mashiach. And that's why when we say Mincha, we say Bayanuchu Bam, that both the masculine and the feminine, both the arousal from above, the arousal from below, will be able to be merged and will be able to reach this perfect state called the days of Mashiach. And every Shabbos we have a tasting, you know, like the you can go down in the supermarkets, they give you a taste if they want you to try a new product. We have a new product that's waiting for us, a fantastic new product that's waiting for us, and every Shabbos we get a taste. And that's exactly the feeling that we should have as we move into Mincha. And again, now you can understand why it's a more spiritual time and a less physical time, because we're much more focused on, we're moving up the ladder from every hour on Shabbat.